conversationalist, good dancer. She thought that she should enjoy being with him. Except, his eyes bothered her. The way he looked at her, she felt like a deer being watched by a wolf. "He strips me with his eyes," April realized. It made her uneasy. She found herself wondering what it would be like to go out with Dan. Would he be gentle and patient and pleasant? She knew he wouldn't, and she realized that she wouldn't want Dan to be. Al-Bashir enjoyed his dates with April as well. She was lovely, intelligent, and eager to learn from him. He especially liked the way she listened, wide-eyed, to his tales of world travels and international business affairs. She was reluctant to get romantically involved, but he knew that there was plenty of time for that. And there were plenty of women in Houston to satisfy his sexual needs. "April is like a beautiful, sensitive doe," he told himself. "She's not to be hunted so much as won over, like the ancient story of Beauty and the Beast." "After the power satellite has done its work," he told himself. "After I've destroyed Astro Corporation and Dan Randolph has been crucified by the politicians and the news media. After she has no job and no hope. Then she will turn to me and offer herself. I will get her and get rid of Garrison at the same time. I will be the most powerful of them all." Al-Bashir smiled to himself. "The future will be sweet indeed." Houston, Texas. From her little cubicle down the hall from Chavez's office, Kelly Emons phoned April at her Astro Corporation office. April's image on Emons's desktop screen looked surprised once she recognized the FBI agent.
"Hi, Kelly. How are you? Have you found out anything new?"
Wishing she had something positive to say, Emons replied guardedly,
"Not really.
What's happening with you?"
"This place is jumping. We're going to turn on the power set next week. Every news outfit in the country is buzzing around. They all want to interview Dan and Jerry Adair, our astronaut. They're even asking for interviews with the engineers."
Emons tried to hide her disappointment. She'd been hoping that April wasn't too busy to help her stalled investigation.
"I thought Dan made a mistake to schedule the turn-on for the Sunday of the holiday weekend," April was rattling on. "But he's a lot smarter about these things than I am. It's a slow news day, and the media's practically frothing at the mouth to have a big story for Sunday."
Big story if the satellite works, Emons thought. But she realized, an even bigger story if it doesn't work. To April, she said,
"I understand that one of Tricontinental Oil's directors is spending a lot of time down there in Matagorda."
Before April could ask, she added,
"Asim Al-Bashir." "Oh, yes. Asim's here all the time."
"Asim?" Emons's ears perked up. Lowering her voice slightly, April said,
"I've been dating him."
"You have?"
"Nothing serious, just dinner."
"Really?"
"He's very nice, sort of."
Her mind racing, Emons tried to make small talk while she decided how much to tell April. "The kid's not a trained agent," she told herself. "You got her into enough trouble with that Kinski guy and Roberto. If Al-Bashir really is the brains behind Roberto and everything else."
"He's invited me to come up to Houston for a visit," April was saying. "Maybe we could get together then."
"That sounds a little like walking into the spider's parlor," Emons said, still wondering what to do.
"Don't worry. I can't get away from the office until after the power sat's turned on," April said.
"Still..."
"I'll get my own hotel room,"
April said, her smile brighter. With a laugh, she added,
"If you're worried about me, you can have an agent follow me wherever I go."
"Or plant a bug on you," Emons said to herself. For months, Jane had ignored Dan's phone messages. In truth, she had been too busy to see him, with Morgan Scanwell's constant campaigning across the nation. New Hampshire, Iowa, South Carolina, the smashing Super Tuesday victories, and now the California, New York, and Texas primaries coming up, the major leagues. Dan had called insistently almost every day since their brief foolish fling at his place in Matagorda. "Stupid thing to do," Jane told herself every time she saw his name on her list of unanswered messages. "You allowed your hormones to overwhelm your good sense. If Morgan ever finds out..."
But coldly, logically, she told herself that if Morgan found out, he would do nothing. He might be hurt, crushed even. But he would neither do nor say anything that would sidetrack his campaign to the White House. Nor will I, Jane decided. I owe Morgan that much. I can't let Dan interfere, can't let him muddy the waters, no matter how much I love him. Not now. It's too late for that now. Maybe not ever. Still, her heart had nearly stopped when she'd seen Dan at the Senate subcommittee hearing. She'd known he would be there. She'd thought she'd steeled herself for the moment. Yet still her knees went weak at the sight of him. It had taken all her strength, all her resolve to sit through his testimony and remain cool, unmoved. Now, as she sat alone in her office at the end of a long, draining day, his name appeared again on her desktop screen, right at the top of the calls she should answer. Almost without her consciously willing it, Jane clicked on his name. Dan's face appeared on the screen. He was grinning happily. "I know you're busy, but I just wanted to say thanks for helping us. Sunday morning we're supposed to turn the power set on. Maybe you can come down here Saturday. I'll have a surprise for you." His image froze, a set of telephone numbers superimposed over it. Office, personal direct line, cell phone. A surprise, she thought. I'll bet. Probably a bottle of champagne and a freshly made bed. Despite herself, Jane smiled. Then she thought, Morgan ought to be at the Astro facility when Dan turns the power satellite on. After all, he is the governor of Texas and Astro is in his state. It would be good publicity, a fine chance to show his energy independence ideas can really work. She brought up Morgan's schedule for the coming week. He'll be spending the next 3 days in California and New York, she saw. Friday night back to Austin, ostensibly attending to his duties as governor, but actually mending fences and shaking hands for the upcoming Texas primary. Monday, the Memorial Day barbecue. Jane called Austin and spoke to Scanwell's travel aide. He can jet down to Matagorda for a few hours on Sunday, she said. He'll get more news coverage there than in Austin. The travel aide, a lank-haired, sleepy-eyed brunette, nodded unenthusiastically.
Yes, Senator, I suppose so. But he's got a full schedule of meetings set for Sunday, and then the barbecue on the holiday.
Bring the important ones along on the jet with him, Jane told her. They'll appreciate being on the plane with the governor and then seeing the kickoff of the power satellite.
I don't know if I can do that this late, the aide complained. It's already Tuesday, and...
You can do it, Jane said firmly. I have every confidence in you. The aide nodded again, even more glumly. They both understood quite well that when the governor's campaign manager makes a suggestion, it's really a command. That done, Jane clicked to her own schedule for the Memorial Day weekend. The Senate would be adjourned until Tuesday noon. Friday she had meetings scheduled with Denny and the rest of the strategists to plan the final weeks of the campaign leading up to the party's convention in Denver. I could fly home to the ranch Friday night, she told herself. I could pop down to Matagorda early Saturday and be there when Morgan arrives on Sunday. I could, Jane thought, but I won't. Matagorda Island, Texas.
You just keep that Arab away from my hangar, Niles Muhammad said, almost in a growl.
Dan leaned back in his desk chair and stared at the scowling technician. He couldn't remember the last time Muhammad had made the 100-yard trip from Hangar B to his office. What's the problem, Niles?
No problem, Muhammad said, standing tensely before Dan's ornate desk. I just don't like him snooping around the O2.
Has he been in the cockpit? Dan asked.
That'll be the day. Muhammad snorted. I don't let nobody touch that baby except Jerry and his ground crew. And nobody else gets closer than 10 feet.
So what's al-Bashir done that bothers you? Muhammad's frown turned from suspicious to puzzled.
Nothing I can put a finger on. He's just slippery, you know. Like he's always asking questions and trying to figure out what's going down.
Spreading his hands, Dan tried to explain. Niles, he's our pipeline to the money that's keeping us going. It's natural that he wants to know what we're doing.
Natural, huh?
I've given him a pretty free hand to look at anything he likes, Dan admitted. He's been all over the place.
Yeah, well, you just tell him to stay out of Hangar B. I don't want nobody messing with the O2.
Dan